Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Here it is, another Saturday in CCO land, this one the 4th of October, and back talking cars, trucks, vans, and the problems you may be having with yours. And before you bring in your vehicle for service, you might want to know what could be wrong with it. Well, there's a way to solve that, at least get more information. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive is back with us. Nick, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you. We, as you know, my son and I went out west for a long weekend and had a blast. You know, we went to San Diego and caught a baseball game, saw an air show. He even tried surfing, so it was quite the adventure, I can tell you.
Some great memories there. Boy, you won't regret that, for sure. Yeah, well, absolutely. Welcome back. Sounds like you had a great time. Well, Nick, as usual, and our buddy Dan was filling in for Nick last week, and as you know, Dan did a pretty fair job.
He's the master. We both know that.
Yeah, he's good, yes. But it's good to have you back, and let's invite our listeners to join in. If you have any issues with your vehicle, or maybe you just want to ask a mechanic a question, whatever the case may be, Nick is an ASC certified technician, but he runs the joint at Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul, and a great place. Always enjoy my visit there, even if I have to get my car repaired. There's the place to go. But let's give the phone number, which is also the text number. If you want to call and chat with Nick, great. If it's easier for you to send your question via text, here is the one number for either 651-461-9226. You know, Nick, I'm looking at the forecast, and I hear Al saying it's going to be 90, 91 or so today. And still warm again tomorrow, then the change. But folks are already thinking, I think, ahead of winter, maybe not only car storage. But the question basically, after I wade through a few sentences, is what can you do to get your vehicle ready for winter? I know we're jumping ahead with the hot weather today, but I think it's a good question. What kind of advice, what are some things we could do ahead of the game?
Well, this is absolutely the time of the year to get that vehicle in. You know, if you're old enough, like some of us, you'll remember we got 30 inches of snow on Halloween here some years back. So it can happen. So you know, it's still a few weeks away at a minimum, but you need to get on somebody's schedule. Those tires, the suspension, the brakes, you know, we want to check the wiper blades. We want to check the cooling system. You know, you just want to make sure that in the event that weather does change quickly, you're not behind the game, because at that point, everybody's schedule is past full. So this is the time to get on the schedule, make the appointment, say, hey, I just want to get ready for what's coming next. You know, replace the tires, rotate the tires. A lot of variables there, but I think it's fair to say get the car in, give it a good once-over before the weather does turn on us.
You know, I think it came about with a question when Dan was visiting last week. The air conditioner, even in the wintertime, can be pretty useful, can it not?
Absolutely. That what happens when you put the defrost on, even though you have it on hot heat, you know, it still turns the compressor to dry the air. So it's blowing the dry air on the windshield to clear it, so it's not all fogged up. We all hop in our car and get it running and all that, you know, from us breathing and any, like, our wet boots or whatever, will kind of, all that moisture will kind of condensate and make that front windshield kind of foggy. Well, the compressor is drying the air as it's circulating through and gets that windshield nice and clear for you. So it definitely has an effect on how well the defrost works.
Let's see if I can read this right. How has a mechanic's job changed since hybrid and electric vehicles came on the scene? That's a good question.
It is a good question, and I would say hybrids have been around longer than we realize, and electric vehicles are very similar. I mean, the batteries are bigger, the electric motors are larger, obviously, but for the most part, if you've been doing it long enough, you've gotten a taste of it, you've gotten a feel for it, you've had some training on it, and, you know, more sensors, more components that have, you know, funny little quirks about them, but for the most part, it's, you know, kind of going about our business. You know, we went from, you know, going way back carburetors to fuel injection, you know, all this electronics, all the computer-controlled items. You know, we have electric power steering. I mean, there's a lot of things that have evolved with vehicles, and we keep our folks up on training, which kind of helps them keep ahead of the curve there, so when it does come into the shop, we're prepared.
And again, we talk about this from time to time, but when you and your technicians have to kind of re-qualify, or whatever the term may be, to get that master technician status, how often is that done? Every few years or what?
Yeah, the recertifications are every 5 years, and you got to keep on top of them, which I think mine might be due. I better study.
Sorry to bring that up.
Yeah, I know it's. You know, I don't do well sitting for long, so you know they have all these different tests, and it was up to me. I would take them all at once, but they don't like that. So, but it's every 5 years. You know, they break them down into different categories. We're very proud that all of our technicians are master technicians. You know, it's. It speaks not necessarily their complete ability, but the seriousness of they consider it a career. It's not just a job. And everyone we have working with us, we want to work together until they retire. You know, we participate in retirement. We want them to be able to save money so their families can have a wonderful life as they raise their children. And also as they exit their working career, they can have a wonderful retirement to do the things that they deserve. So, you know, the certifications are just one little piece of it, but I think it's a good commitment on our staff to show that, you know, they want to be part of an important team.
It's a good gig. It's a really a good job. I mean, and like you said, the guys, and I'm sure, I mean, you've had people hanging out to work with at Lloyd's for many years, long-term people.
Well, yeah, Suds is over 20 years. Jim's getting close. Matt's over 20 years. Chris has got to be pushing 15. Tim's been there for, you know, probably 20. I mean, it's you don't realize how fast it goes. And then you look at our Facebook feed and you see a picture of me 20 years ago. Like, there's no gray and I was skinny. What happened?
Tell me about it. I know that. I can relate to that. Call us or text us with any kind of a car care question you may have. It's 651-461-9226. Here's one for you that just came in. In a 1976 Corvette. Oh, my. How do we know if the torque converter is going bad?
That's a fair question. Just for the record, it's the year I was born, so I don't have to know. I would say if it's starting to chatter, if it's, you know, the slipping thing, I don't know, because that could be anything, you know, low pump pressure, clutches could be worn. You know, that's a tough question. I guess I'd have to do a little research and probably drive the vehicle, try to get a feel for it. I don't have a definite answer there. Yeah, I would probably check some forums, check around town, you know, maybe start researching the folks that still work on that vintage vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting a little bit older. And, you know, just start asking some questions, you know. There's not too many car shows left. Obviously, the seasons are changing, but sometimes there's these Friday night meetups. Find one of those, talk to those folks. There's resources out there. I'm just at this point probably not the right person to answer that.
Well, there are so many resources these days. When is the last time you saw a carbureted vehicle?
There's one there right now.
Is there really?
Yeah. It's not what we do, you know, but and we, you know, we, to be honest, we turn most of that work away because we're just not efficient at it, you know, and proficient at it. We don't, most of the guys haven't seen that stuff since school, if at all, but there's still a few of those regular customers that have been bringing those vehicles in longer than I've worked there, and you're not going to turn them away because they're kind of, I guess you could say, grandfathered in.
Sure.
And we work through it. We work around it. You know, we put our heads together. We can figure about it, just about anything. You know, and the biggest issue is finding the pieces. You know, so if there's something with an accelerator pump or something with one of the valves or the float's gone bad in the carburetor, finding that replacement piece can be a little difficult. Obviously, online you can find lots of stuff, but I can also tell you from experience, the one-size-fits-alls don't always work right. So.
Yeah.
We're very careful not to dig into that, so it's not what we do. We're not taking in anywhere that kind of business. There's a few still out there that come in just simply because they always have, and like I said, they're part of the family, so we're not going to turn them away. But
yeah,
you know, you get online, get, you know, go to those meetups, find some folks out there. There's folks out there that still work on them. They're still very, very good at working on them.
Sure,
it's just kind of past what we do at Lloyd's.
All right. If you want to ask the mechanic any kind of a car care question, you don't have to be a motorhead or gearhead to do so. Nothing technical, just for fun. Or maybe you do have some issues with your car, your truck, your van. You want to know what could be wrong. Ask Nick. Call it in. Text it in. Here's our number for either. 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO, stay with us. And welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We're here, thanks to Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Every Saturday, right after the 7 o'clock news break, you can ask the mechanic any kind of a question you want at 651-461-9226. But keep in mind, we always like to say this, I ask that question sooner rather than later. Nick takes his leave about 7:45 or so. It goes by so quickly. So call us or text us with any kind of a car care question you may have. Let's go to the phones. Randy is checking in from Anoka this morning. Randy, good morning. What is your question for Nick? Hello, Randy. Testing. 1, 2, 3. Randy, are you with us? I guess Randy's not with us.
Well, we can help him with his car, but I'm not sure I can do much with the phone.
With his phone. Maybe it's just a technical glitch. We'll hang in there in the meantime. Are you there, Randy? No, Randy's not with us. Well, you call back, Randy, if there's some connection. I was looking at a text. Okay, I'm reading it as it's coming in. I called Lloyd's Automotive a few days ago for some advice on my power steering. Awesome advice. You do that from time to time, don't you? You always offer the listener. Just call with a question at Lloyd's,
yeah.
Right?
And I know taking your vehicle in can be intimidating, and cars have got more complicated, and you know, you don't have to know. You don't. You just have to share what you're experiencing to the best detail that you can, which can be hard to get people to do also. I don't know how many times I say, you know, get a little notepad in your vehicle. You're experiencing some sort of problem or concern. Write it down, the conditions, the first drive of the day. Any of those little details really help not just us, but any shop, mechanic, dealership, get to the bottom of the problem. So if you have a question like, hey, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I'm feeling, how can you help me? We can walk through it with you and you know, explain what our point of view is. Because when you do bring that vehicle in, wherever it is, that information is critical to us figuring out what's happening quicker, which does save you money. The more time we spend, the more it costs. So anything you can do to help, we greatly appreciate.
Absolutely. The more information, the better. By the way, for folks that maybe need help, where are you guys located? And again, give us a quick info about that.
Yeah, like you said earlier, we're in St. Paul on Grand Avenue. Our planters up front are about at their peak. You know, this nice extended summer has really allowed them to really bang. They're massive,
yeah.
So they probably have a couple more weeks before they're gone. But we're on Grand Avenue, which is 982 Grand Avenue in the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. Stop and say hi. It's a beautiful, it's cooler this week, but it's seasonable, so it'll be a nice day for a walk. If you have a question, like you said, you can always call us. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And if you want to check out our website, I'd appreciate that, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll get you that info before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 or so. So call us or text us any kind of a car care question, 651-461-9226. Back to the phones. Clem's calling in from Red Wing. Love that city. Clem, good morning. What's your question for Nick?
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. Say, I've got an older Lincoln that happens to be a 2005 LS, and the car's locked, and the car can be sitting there with no noise around, and the alarm just takes off, maybe only for about 15 seconds or so, and it stops, and I might go all day, and it's fine, and then I walk by the car, or I'm in the shop, and the alarm takes off. Anything you can help me with that, I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I believe there's something called the GEM module, which might process some of those different door switches. If a door switch and a latch are out of sequence, a lot of little things, like you mentioned, the vehicle's a little bit older, some of these levers are a bit worn, some of the sensor resets are a little bit worn. The difficult part is going to be trying to figure out which one. You know, new vehicles, there's computers in pretty much every system, and there's fault codes for every single component. This is a little bit older. It's going to require a voltmeter and some time. You know, one thing I would say, you know, I wonder if we ever notice the door jar light on, or if you can try to see, you know, if it's, if the alarm is going off, if you open or close the door, or lock or unlock the doors, if anything kind of a ritual can make a change. So, you know, back to what I had said earlier, you know, you get that notepad and say, hey, I noticed it was going off. I go out and I exercise the driver's door, the passenger's door, or the door lock, you know, if it has an electronic lock or if it's the key lock. You know, all these little different things that you can try. And if that can make the situation change, make note of it, because that gives us a clue where we can start. So when you're, the alarm's going off and you do something with a particular door, we know that maybe it's concentrated in that area. Maybe there's some wiring that's damaged. You know, there's a lot of little things that happen to vehicles as they age, you know, or at that time of the year where some of the critters start making their way in and start nibbling on wiring and make nests in different places. So this type of vehicle is going to take some patience, some time, a voltmeter, wiring diagram, and, you know, the best hope is that the car will act up while someone's looking at it, so therefore they can pinpoint what it is.
Very good. Lots of calls coming in this morning. Nice to hear people's voices. Randy from Monoka is back. Randy, good morning. What's the question for Nick?
Good morning, gentlemen. I've got a 2025 GMC Terrain. I've had it a year. We've been averaging 18.6 or something on the trip meter. The last couple trips, Brainerd, Duluth, or whatever, I set my trip meter, and I'm down to 10.6 to 10.8. I'm buying gas at the same place, and I don't know, should I just bring it in, or I'm not sure what I should do, because it dropped 25%.
Yeah, that definitely is not right. I wonder if it's not in how it's reading. Here's what I would like to ask you to do is, you know, let the tank get low on fuel, fill it up, write down your mileage, drive it a tank of fuel, refill it, write down your mileage again, figure out how many gallons you use and the actual miles that you drove. I understand the car's doing the math, but maybe there's something wrong with how the car's doing the math. You know, I don't, you know, if the car was using that much more fuel on the same drive cycle, the check engine light would be on. There'd be something noticeably wrong with the vehicle. It can't run on that much more fuel without something being wrong. If there's something was wrong, the warning indicators would be illuminated. So I think the first thing you can do is get actual math written down, you know, and if it is getting 10 miles to the gallon, truly, you can take this into the dealership and say, hey, I filled it at this mileage, I refilled it at this mileage, these are the gallons I put in it, here's my receipt, here's my fuel economy, what's going on? That versus starting all over. You already done that first step or two to help them. And if you come to find out it's like 18 like you have been getting, there's something wrong with the software that it's not calculating correctly. So that's more likely my path I think you're headed, but I think you need to get actual miles and actual gallons written down to figure out truly what it is.
I want to alert Connie and Victor on the phone. Stay where you are. We're just going to take a break for the forecast and be right back with more car talk. So Connie and Victor, hang in there. I was thinking, Nick, about Randy's question. Randy's calling in from Anoka, where a million years ago I took my driver's test, my road test, and I did pass, by the way, surprisingly. But the vehicle I drove was a buddy of mine. He lent it me for that. It was, and Bob lent me his Corvair.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Ralph Nader's unsafe at any speed car. And I want to tell you, that thing turned on a dime. Just when I saw the word Anoka.
So were the roads paved yet out there, or are they still dead?
Yes, yeah. Well, it was kind of rutted because of the stagecoaches, you know.
I was going to say.
Yeah. All right, Nick, you hang on. We'll see if we can get you back here. Oh, we have technical difficulties. We lost Nick. No, you stay right there, Nick. We'll have a look. And Connie and Victor will get to your calls right after the weather here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back. CCO's Car Care Show. Denning Long here along with Nick Stoffel, ASE certified technician from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, we've got some callers and some textures we want to pick up on, too, in a moment. Connie is first up here calling from St. Paul. Hi, Connie. Thanks for waiting.
Hi.
What's your question?
I have a quick question. Thank you both for CCO, you, Denny, and Nick, for having this. It's a wonderful thing. I listen to it as, you know, an older woman. I
thank
have
you.
A 2012 Chevy Impala. When I was coming home from my daughter's last night, I started the car, and then all of a sudden, I think it's the alternator that started. It went blank on the screen. I couldn't put it in park or anything. And then I tried to restart it again and started it up and it went, but luckily I got home. So is this the start of a starter going out, or an alternator, or whatever they are?
Well, the starter is the little motor that spins the engine to get it going. Depending, you know, like, I don't want to say yes, replace the starter, you know, without having experienced that. So what I would ask of you, you know, just kind of plan your day and your next few days carefully. When you go out to start the vehicle, make note of what's happening. You know, is it just a click? Is it spinning? Is it a bunch of clicks? And what you do differently to get it start after you try again, you know, so therefore when you bring the vehicle into your shop, they can hopefully experience the same problem. You know, if it happened last night and it doesn't happen for a week, okay, now you start to think maybe it was a one-off, which can happen, keep in mind. But I'd be, for the next few days, I'd be very careful of my plans. Just make sure you don't end up somewhere where you're stuck. And if it seems to be working fine, you can gain some more confidence, and maybe, like I said, maybe it's just a one-off situation.
Very good. Connie, thanks for your comments. Appreciate you listening, of course. Victor calling in from Dayton, I believe. Maybe Victor is still there. I hope you were patient. Thank you, Victor. What's your question?
This is a vehicle that's been sitting a couple of years. We took a pulled the distributor out, took a electric drill, I got 40 PSI, put it back in again as a pre-oil, the engine, and then we fired up, blows the oil filter off. Where is the pressure relief valve in that built?
Pressure relief valve on the oil is probably part of the pump. But if you spun the, you know, you took the distributor out, put a drill there, and primed it all, I would think that should be fine. Maybe a little bit of starting fluid down the carb or into the intake to get the thing fired up. But if it's not starting at that point, you know, the three things you need to make an engine run is air, fuel, and spark. Maybe that distributor, did it get back in the right spot? You know, is the timing correct? There's a couple different variables you probably need to look a little further into.
Okay. Nick, via text, listeners sent this in, 2016 Jeep Cherokee. They were told they have a small crack in one of the brake calipers. Question is it a, quote, must repair? That comes from Emma in Wyoming.
A small crack in a brake
caliper.
If a brake caliper is cracked, yes, you have to get that replaced immediately, because that's the whole hydraulic unit that applies those brakes. I'm not sure that's the that she's hearing that correctly. I'm thinking they're telling us some cracking in the brake hoses, which are also equally important. You know, they're aligned hose that gets under a tremendous amount of pressure when we apply those brakes. You know, the hydraulic system is very critical, and you don't want anything to leak, burst, brake, crack, because that will affect your braking immediately. So I would say, depending to, you know, maybe get a clarification on what you're being told for sure. And then at that point, I would say, depending on what it is, ask. You know, or ask it a second opinion. But usually with brakes, that's not something you want to put off.
Oh, yeah.
You need to stop.
Safety, absolutely. Let's grab another phone call. Roger, is this, am I reading correct, calling from Tennessee? Roger, are you in Tennessee?
Yes, I am.
Well, what part of Tennessee?
I live about a half hour north of Nashville in a city called White House.
Outstanding. Well, thanks for calling into CCO Radio in Minnesota this morning. Roger, what can we do for you?
Yes, I have a 2020 Ford Edge 2.0 turbocharged, and every time I start it up, it first it hesitates as I journey on the road for maybe 5 minutes, and after that it all clears up, and I don't have any much problem with it for the rest of the time, but it's getting frustrating every time you tend to hesitate. I didn't know if there was some solution to that.
Yeah, you know, Fords aren't always good at setting codes if there's a misfire. I wonder if there's not something during that warm-up where the fuel-air mixture, a spark plug is a bit worn or coil's a bit stressed, that you have a slight misfire on one of those cylinders. There might be a way that somebody can connect an OE-level scan to and watch that data to see what's going on all four cylinders. You know, I mean, if something's not working properly, creating that hesitation, I think you'd see the difference or imbalance on that cylinder. And then at that point, once we know, is it air, fuel, and spark, like I just mentioned that last caller. So I think the first thing we need to do is isolate which cylinder it is. Good information, we know it's on a startup. It's a cold engine. So what's different at that point? Well, maybe the programming isn't fully in the closed loop. You know, some different strategies at different drive cycles. So I would say get the vehicle to the shop, let them have it overnight so they can be the first ones on a cold morning to start the vehicle, connect their scan tool, drive it, experience that hesitation, look at all four cylinders and see which one is misbehaving.
Always fun to get calls or texts from out of state. Thanks, Raj. Appreciate that. 7:38 in the morning. We're heading for 91 degrees in the Twin Cities today. Here is a text question. Thanks for the show. You're welcome. 2013 Equinox. We got to get this fixed. The radio turns on, but then turns off right away. It has not worked at all since this started. Might that be a fuse or an easy fix? My husband doesn't want to spend any more money to fix the car. It's had a lot of engine problems over the years. What would you suggest, or what would you do researching that radio problem?
I would wonder if at some point in time in the life of the vehicle something spilt and the button, because usually when it comes on and it's like the button's not fully depressed, maybe you can try to clean that out. If the buttons come off, maybe you can carefully pop that off, get a Q-tip in there. If there's any debris, any stickiness, maybe take a little bit of alcohol and kind of clear that up. That could be a possibility. And as far as cost, something that vintage, you might be able to find a used one, which isn't probably horribly expensive, so it might be a reasonable effort to get that radio back on, because like you had said, if they can't listen to us, there's probably no reason to even go anywhere.
That's right. Absolutely. Someone sent, we were talking about Anoka. Just to clarify, texter says, Anoka was established 10 years before St. Paul, as were its paved roads.
That doesn't mean we don't know how Denny is, let's be fair here.
We won't go there. All right, another text before we let you go this morning. There's a 1997 Volvo wagon base model. The key fobs no longer locks, unlocks doors. Replace the batteries in both fobs. Have always used only one of the two key fobs. The second one was seldom used. Is there a way to test the fob's transmitting function as well as testing the receiver component? The keys will lock and unlock all doors. So the keys work.
Yeah, the keys work. The fact that both transponders don't work, I'm thinking something with the receiver. I doubt at that vintage there's nothing you can connect to it. Probably get on some forums. I'm sure there's a way we could check powers and grounds and different voltage readings to try to figure it out. But I suspect it's likely the transmitter inside the responder inside the vehicle itself. Even at that, to find one at that vintage might be tough. I think there's an outfit out in western Wisconsin that kind of specializes in some older Volvo parts, which might be a good lead there. But it's going to just take trying to find the wiring diagram, which might take some digging up. Get the voltmeter out, check your powers and grounds, and if all that is as it should be, it's likely the receiver inside the vehicle.
A listener wants to know, and this is a good question, how do I check my tire treads? What's the process? I see you and your crew's doing it. But what's the magic? How does a homeowner or a do-it-yourselfer check their tire?
So when you look at a tire, as they become worn, it's more obvious. There's a little wear bar that's at 3/30 seconds designed into every tire. So as the tires become worn, you'll see, looking through the tread at the deepest part, you might see this little tab there. As you get closer to that tab, that's 3/30 seconds. That's kind of like the limit. Even at that being said, I think 3/30 seconds, 4/30 seconds on today's vehicles is probably getting too low. The suspensions and the tire designs, if you get some good snow, you'll find yourself slipping and sliding. So, if it's a springtime and people are getting to that marker, we might say, give it a couple months here throughout the summer, use up what you have. Going into the winter months, we want to be price savvy and conscious with our money, but the last thing you want to do is try to say, well, I'll just get these tires in a couple months. We end up with some snow, you end up slipping into somebody because your tires are worn. Now you need tires and bodywork on your vehicle. So Avoid the second one. If the tires are getting kind of close, watch the forecast, pay attention, but definitely get a fresh set of tires before we get snow.
Nick, I know we have to scoot real fast, but I see Larry just called in from Invergrove Heights. I don't want to leave somebody out here. Larry, what is your question for Nick?
Hi, great. Thank you for taking my call. I listen to you all the time. Anyways, I got a 2014 Ford Super Duty. It's the 6.2 gas, and I've had a check engine light, which I've checked with two different handheld scanners, and it comes back to a knock sensor. Now, my question is this, Nick. If I take it into a dealer and they've got the big expensive computer diagnosis, can they tell me which knock sensor it is, and then is there a possibility it's not really a knock sensor but a weak coil or something? I'll listen.
Depending on the code, if it talks about like a circuit portion or functionality. A lot of times the codes can vary there. And if there is multiple, if there's two NOx sensors on the vehicle, yes, it should be able to tell if it's A or B. And with what they can do too is that with their testing or with their data points, they can actually read the information from the sensor. So if the sensor's not sending anything back, we kind of eliminated a coil. Well, if the sensor it seems to be functioning, well, now we have to kind of regroup. We're getting a NOx sensor fault because it's pre-detonation. It's knocking. Well, now is it a timing issue? Like you said, is it a weak coil injector? There's some other paths we go, but we first need to determine what kind of code it is and what kind of data is coming out of the sensors.
Very good. Thanks for doing that, Nick. I know we have to run. Thanks for everything. How do we find Lloyd's Automotive again?
Yes, sir. So if you're in St. Paul, we're on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth, which is 982 Grand. If you have a question, we will always try to help. 651-228-1316. You can find all that information more at our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Thanks for everything, Nick. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you 1 week from today.
Thanks, Denny.
Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see Rates and Fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.